TED Audio Collective.
I remember a feeling of helplessness I sometimes had as a kid. You know, that feeling that some problems were insurmountable. Maybe it was that first attempt at riding my bike up a hill that seemed like only the older girls could do. Or going from spelling out words to eventually reading my first chapter book, driving a car, learning calculus, running a mile, and then 2, and then 26.2. The adult world, it turns out, is full of seemingly insurmountable problems too. And it feels like the challenges keep getting bigger and bigger. And now in front of us is a problem that too often feels overwhelming and so hard to fix. Yep, I'm talking about climate change. But here's the thing. Just like being a kid riding that bike up that big old hill, we're not alone in this. I had a support system of loved ones holding me up, helping me do what I never thought was possible. And that's how these big problems can be fixed too, by working together with optimism for the future. I'm Madhu Bakinola. This is TED Business. Our speakers today are Neely Gilbert, an investment decarbonization expert, and David Blood, a leader in the sustainable investing space. They both consider themselves optimists and believe the world of finance is capable of stepping up to address the problem of climate change. But they're also here to tell us that to globally decarbonize our economy, we're going to need cooperation from government, business owners, and entrepreneurs, and maybe even you. But first, a quick break.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
But that's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Frances Fry.
And I'm Ann Morris.
And we are the hosts of a new TED podcast called Fixable.
We've helped leaders at some of the world's most competitive companies solve all kinds of problems.
On our show, we'll pull back the curtain and give you the type of honest, unfiltered advice we usually reserve for top executives.
Maybe you have a coworker with boundary issues, or you want to know how to inspire and motivate your team.
Give us a call, and we'll help you solve the problems you're stuck on.
Find Fixable wherever you listen.
The reality is that while financial capital has been moving towards addressing the climate transition, it's not moving fast enough, and it's not moving at the scale that we need. So it's really great to be here with you today to talk about why we think that's happening, what we think some of the challenges are, and how to address it. So what are you seeing?
Well, maybe we'll start with a little bit of background. The United Nations estimates that we will need something in the order of $3 to $4 trillion per year to globally decarbonize our economy through 2050. This shift, and I know you talk about this as well, will be the most significant shift in economic history. We think it will be more extensive than the Industrial Revolution and probably faster than the Digital Revolution. And the good news is we are seeing funds flowing to climate solutions. The different news is that it's, as you said, it's not nearly enough. It's not going to the hard-to-abate sectors, and importantly, it is not going to the global south. In fact, we think that we will likely miss every single one of the 17 sustainable development goals. We've been at this problem for almost 20 years, and we've seen enormous incremental change. But we need now transformational change in our economies, in our businesses, in our financial institutions.
Why has this been so hard?
Well, it's a good question, and it's complicated for one thing, but I think there's probably four fundamental points. The first is the finance sector is critical, but it does rely on businesses and entrepreneurs to lead the way. We are financing their ideas and their businesses. Secondly, we do need change in public policy and change in regulation. Thirdly, with the investment community, we don't yet have the tools to truly evaluate whether a company or an industry is decarbonizing. We're making progress, but there's still work that we need to do. And lastly, we need to fundamentally change the way people think about capital allocation. And by that, we mean we need to create the capabilities for investors to understand the impact of their investments within a traditional risk and return framework.
And all of this sounds really challenging. Is there any good news?
There is, and we're both optimists. And
that's right.
That's a good thing, a good place to be. First of all, there's no question there's enough capital. There's something in the order of $150 trillion of institutions who've committed to net zero. Now, we know that that's an overstatement, but the point is $150 trillion, $100 trillion, that's a lot of money. We have the money to make the transition. Secondly, there are no legal barriers. We'll come back to this in a little bit, for investors to allocate capital to sustainable solutions. Thirdly, and we're seeing it yesterday, we're seeing it today, there are amazing entrepreneurs, amazing business people, and the technology cost down curves are happening even as we speak. Public policy is also on the move. We have seen the Inflation Reduction Act. It is the most significant climate legislation in the United States and indeed probably the world. And the Europeans are responding aggressively to decarbonize their economy because of the tragic war in Ukraine. And lastly, as we both know, finance can change. When my dad was a portfolio manager at Ford Motor Company in the late 60s, early 70s, the way he made investments was based upon limiting risk. That was their job. But then as time went on, people began to realize that if you could be paid for risk, perhaps that would be a better way to deploy capital. And so whole industries developed, like the venture capital industry, like the growth equity industry, and of course, the high yield marketplace. So finance can change, and that's going to be a very important part of the solution. Now, we've been talking about sort of the macro picture. You're working on the ground. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I think that the finance pathway towards net zero is so challenging is because it touches every other pathway, because finance encompasses the whole global economy. And so the finance transition means supporting the transitions of individual sectors of every country and always paying attention to the needs of individual communities as we get this done. But while we're doing and supporting this work on the ground, our pathway still has to add back up to a Paris-aligned pathway at the end of the day. And so bringing together this top-down and bottom-up effort is extremely challenging. But I think that the energy sector itself, which, as you know, is in many ways the other key sector for driving the transition, provides a really good example of this framework in practice. So the International Energy Agency, the IEA, has told us that as of last year, finance for clean energy is actually equal with finance for fossil fuels, which sounds like good news, right? But the challenge is that by 2030, we actually need finance for clean energy to reach four times what's going into traditional fossil fuels. So we need massive scale, massive change in a short amount of time. And we need even more than that to go into financing transitions for individual sectors on the ground. for breaking down the demand for fossil fuels as a way ultimately to break down the supply. So when you think about these three buckets, limiting finance for fossil fuels, scaling up finance for clean energy, and then investing to end the demand for fossil fuels, I actually think that one of the greatest untapped, or it's being tapped, but one of the greatest forward-looking opportunities is actually in that third bucket where we break down the demand. And when we think about that bucket, one of the places where we need to act much more quickly is in focusing on hard-to-abate sectors. These are the most energy-intensive sectors that won't be able to run on solar and wind. Things like cement, steel, aviation, shipping, which actually make up almost a third of global emissions in total. So we really need to work to address these. But the good news is that we actually have a lot of the solutions to be able to get these sectors to their goals, and thanks to policy, thanks to rising demand for these solutions, bringing down their costs, and thanks to technological improvements, we now see that the cost for the clean solutions is approaching, or in some cases is even lower than the costs for the high emitting alternatives. So what finance needs to do is partner with science, continue to engage with policy, and work with engineers to be able to bring these solutions online at scale.
Well, we agree with you about the hard to abate sectors. Do you have any favorite ones to talk about?
Well, I can't play favorites.
But
one sector that I'm really excited about right now is aviation, because sustainable aviation looks ready to scale. One of the things that we're seeing is that there's a rising amount of corporate demand to buy sustainable aviation fuel, which is the key unlock for decarbonizing this sector. But what we're also seeing is that the supply of sustainable aviation fuel is not nearly enough to meet that demand or to meet the goals for the sector, even for 2030. Forget about 2040 or 2050. And so what we need to do to make a difference here is focus on multiple production pathways for sustainable aviation fuel. Today, most of the fuel is being produced using biofuels, which just isn't fit to scale. So what we need to do is look at pathways which exist. Like, we can make this fuel out of ethanol, we can make it out of carbon, even carbon dioxide that's been captured from the atmosphere. We can make this stuff out of municipal solid waste, not to be trashy. And so the example of aviation shows a map for how finance needs to partner with individual sectors to get this done. Yes, we need to invest with airlines and give them long-term capital to achieve their goals, but also separately, we need to invest in the solutions that they need to reach those goals. And I think that the aviation sector also paints a picture of where we need to go in this transition as a whole, why it's hard, and why I'm optimistic. Because the truth is that there is a lot that we're going to have to let go in this transition, and that's challenging. We need to do it in a just way. But the other truth is that there's also so much that we get to create. We need to let go of jet fuel, but we also get to invest in all of these sustainable fuels. So what I see is a massive multi-generational opportunity for growth, sustainable growth. Just imagine creating a transition that is greater in scale than the Industrial Revolution to be delivered in less than 30 years. It's an unprecedented opportunity for impact. So I'm excited. I don't know, David, do you think that we can do this?
Well, we both are optimists, and I think we both have said it's going to be difficult, but we can do it. We need transformational change in our industries, in our financial institutions, in civil society, and certainly in public policy. But we have to remember and understand, and we're seeing it very vividly now, the impacts of climate change are with us now and will get more accelerated over the course of the next couple of years. Al and I published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal in November of last year talking about fiduciary duty. And let us be very clear. Investors who do not consider climate are running significant risks in their portfolios and are not fulfilling their fiduciary duty. A pensioner living in a 5.5 degree Fahrenheit, as opposed to Celsius, 5.5 degree Fahrenheit world with degraded biosystems and rampant inequality will not enjoy the fruits of their retirement. Now, we know finance can change. It's not static. We believe very strongly that the role of finance is to provide the means for society to achieve its ambitions. And the good news is climate-led investing is happening. It is becoming an asset class. And so by creating situations where capital markets can expand what they value to take account of sustainability impacts will allow us as investors to, in fact, provide the means for society to achieve its objectives on the planet, on people, and on nature.
Sounds good. I say, let's go out there and do it. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Support for TED Business comes from Odoo. What's Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Business. That's odoo.com/TED Business.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
That was Neely Gilbert and David Blood speaking at the 2023 TED Countdown Summit. And that's it for today. TED Business is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced by Hannah Kingsley Ma, edited by Alejandra Salazar, and fact-checked by Julia Dickerson. Special thanks to Maria Lajas, Farah DeGrunge, Corey Hagem, Daniela Balarezo, and Michelle Quinn. I'm Madhupa Akinola. Talk to you again next week.